Medical information obtained from our website or on the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If you have, or you suspect you might, have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a healthcare provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of the sports doctor, this radio show, or their sponsors.
Hey, everybody. Live from Chicago. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Welcome, everybody. Hey, man, it's daylight savings time. We're excited. I think everybody ought to get out and get active. Just don't overdo it, like we talk so much on the Sports Doctor. You know, the terrible twos, doing too much too soon. The books continues to be exciting. Check it out on Amazon, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. My co-author, Hall of Fame volleyballer, Sharky Zartman. We got a great doubleheader today. We're going to have Dr. Joe George. He's a podiatric surgeon with the Illinois Orthopedic Institute, Chief of Podiatric Surgery Residency at Amita St. Joseph's Medical Center. He'll be joining me first up. And then we're going to have VJ Stanley. He's an author, longtime hockey coach, kids coach. He's a speaker. He's a founder of Balanced Excellence, which is a youth and high school sports injury prevention company. Then it's the Sports Doctors In, where we'll upcoming show highlights, answer some emails. First, let's welcome Dr. Joe George to the Sports Doctor. Welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Weil. How are you today?
I am good. Dr. Joe, he's really, really helped me with some patients. He really focuses on complex foot and ankle reconstruction. Give us a little bit of story, Dr. George, you, the Illinois Orthopedic Institute, a little background.
Well, I as soon as I was done with my training, I was fortunate enough to find a position in an orthopedic group in the southwest suburbs of Joliet, Illinois. And it's a wonderful town, wonderful people. And I've been here for 11 years now. I've been built up a practice of a podiatric practice, a foot and ankle surgical practice within an orthopedic practice. And I was actually the first podiatric surgeon hired by an orthopedist in the community. And since then, other podiatric surgeons have come and joined the other groups, the other orthopedic groups, and we've had a good collegial environment here amongst ourselves. And
great, it's a good mixture. You know, we've talked about
yes.
it for years, the mixture of orthopedic medicine, especially in the sports medicine world, is such an interaction. Who are your orthopedic associates, Dr. George?
Dr. Ryan Pizinger is our sports fellowship trained orthopedic surgeon, and we have a spine surgeon who's Dr. Rebecca Kuo. So the three of us, along with our nurse practitioner, Jackie Cotton, we operate out of Joliet and Bolingbrook and Silver Cross Hospital.
Yeah, Bolingbrook,
as well.
My old
yes.
digs, and of course the practice of one of my closest friends, Dr. Jeffrey Mackler, with Bolingbrook Foot Specialist. I know you've done so much work with him. And again, you know, the coming together of different groups, especially like we talked about, the orthopedic surgical community. And I'm sure, like me, you're singing the song to them all day, that the foot bone's connected to the ankle bones, connected to the leg bone, you know, that the feet affect everything else. When it comes especially to sports and sports medicine. Now, you did some international trauma and foot-ankle surgery training, didn't you?
Yes. I was fortunate enough to do a fellowship in reconstructive foot and ankle surgery at in Germany. I was under the tutelage of Dr. Kai Holmes, who's renowned foot and ankle surgeon there. He's a traumatologist, and another professor, Johannes Hamel, who's a sports orthopedic surgeon who focuses on pediatric sports injuries, and another Dr. Angela Simon, who's an orthopedic surgeon in the suburbs of Berlin. So it was a wonderful experience. It was one of those most unforgettable experiences. I learned so much during that time because they do a lot of things differently there. It's not the same type of medical environment. So it was good to, and it really was an eye-opener for me.
Well, many times internationally, the acceptance of Eastern medicine, of the whole holistic approach, as well as the surgical approach. Of course, my particular practice, which is really orthotics-based, and the whole role of the foot alignment, balance, stability, but trauma is such a big deal, even though 95% of sports medicine we know is non-surgical, but there's plenty of action.
Right.
You've worked with some of the local schools, haven't you, Dr. George, with some of their teams and athletes?
Yeah, being in the location where we are, we have some really good high school teams, and we're fortunate to work with them, Bolingbrook High School, Romeoville High School. I see a lot of athletes, student-athletes from the local colleges, being Illinois Benedictine, North Central College, University of St. Francis, and a couple of the other Catholic high schools in the community as well, Joliet Catholic.
We're in the same world. I think I've seen athletes from every one of those schools at some point in time over the years. Those are hot sports towns, the whole southwest suburbs. You know, we talk a lot on the sports, Dr. George, about the pressure. It's one of the reasons, really one of the reasons I contributed in my book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, whether it's the physical pressure, the schedule, the demand, the bigger, faster, stronger athletes we see every day, or it's the whole mental side. You know, when you're dealing with parents, and I'm sure you do your share of adolescent trauma work and whatever, and that's why I ask surgeons like yourself, I ask how your sports psychology skills are.
Right. It's really tough because sometimes it's hard to really get a feel for who's really more concerned. Is it the actual student athlete, or is it the parent, and who's pushing more to get back into the sports and whatnot? It's really hard to really decipher that. I mean, we see it from both ends. We see students that are really, really anxious about getting back to their sport because they're very driven and they really love their sport. And we see it on the other side where the students are maybe not as engaged, but the parents are more concerned than the students are about getting them to back to their performance levels where they were before their injuries or their illness.
Yes, one of the most important chapters in my book, Dr. George, and it relates to the whole area. There's no surprise about this nightmare scourge of pain pills that our country is dealing with, thousands and thousands of overdeaths. And the chapter I'm talking about is youth, sports, and drugs, where we start seeing because of the pressures. Dr. George, don't you understand? My daughter's competing in 2 weeks. So what if she's taking two Advil twice a day, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
And these kinds of challenges, I want to talk more about that with you. Everybody, you're listening to The Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com. You can go over to radio shows. You could go back 10 years and look at the topics and the international guests we've had in all areas of sports medicine, fitness, wellness, mind-body connection, concussions, etc. You can go over to newspaper articles or magazines. You could check out my latest guest editorial in Lower Extremity Review, a terrific multidiscipline magazine, where we talk about, again, the epidemic of overuse and overkill injuries in youth sports. And in many instances, it's been an interesting road, Dr. George. Don't you think, again, you're a great example of the total inclusion as a surgeon in the world of orthopedics and sports medicine 15, 20 years ago, give or take. It was extremely unusual. Surgically, so you're a lucky guy.
I'm very fortunate, and And I'm very lucky to, first of all, be able to do on a day in and day out basis what I truly am passionate about. And having my colleagues, my orthopedic colleagues and my other podiatric surgical colleagues that work so well, I mean, it's really a very collegial atmosphere that I'm involved in, and I'm very lucky because you don't get that everywhere.
Exactly. Now, on the rehab side and the prevention side, what I've talked about for 20-something years, give or take a few weeks, is the importance of whether it's the proper shoe, whether it's the role of orthotics, whether you're the best athlete in the world or your son or daughter is, and we're talking great-grandmas and we're trying to prevent falls and we're talking about balance and stability, or it is, again, on the other side, the idea of pressure, again, of the pressures to play and the overkill in so many different areas. And so again, working with parents is a big deal. What is there a website, Dr. George, people could find out about your practice, or they just Google Illinois Orthopedic Institute?
Yeah, it's IllinoisOrthopedicInstitute.com. If you Google us, you'll be able to find us that way as well.
Where'd you go to undergraduate, Dr. Joe?
University of Illinois, Chicago, UIC.
Oh, you went to UIC. Yeah. I have some great sports medicine colleagues there. Dr. Holly Benjamin, top pediatric pediatric, great group. And that's how you ended up staying around Illinois. Did you grow up here?
I grew up in Gurnee, in the far north suburbs, and then we found our way to the Joliet area. We currently live in Naperville, but yeah, we enjoy the community down here. But we still have
great town
colleagues. Yeah.
You know, I just saw a poster. It's 9 years, Dr. George, that the kid who grew up in Naperville, Illinois, Evan Lysacek, grew up to become the 2010 Olympic gold medal figure skater. And I put orthotics in his skates when he was like 10 years old and 14. I'm still putting orthotics in 10-year-old figure skaters. Some of them I sent to you right in that regard. And it's sometimes time flies. I could not believe when I saw a note from him that it's been 9 years later. You know, the demands, again, on the student-athletes often are really, really extreme. What are some of the typical problems that you see that might or might not end up surgically in your practice or on some of the sports teams?
Most of the time we're dealing with posterior tibial tendonitis when it comes to overuse injuries.
Shin splints.
Yes. And you know, my nine-and-a-half-year-old daughter is going through the same thing. You know, especially during the growth years, it becomes more and more of an issue. And she's involved.
But I have a pearl for you, my friend. I have a pearl for you, which is over 90% of persistent that tibial tendonitis you could solve with orthotics and strengthening. Tremendous success over the years. It's unusual to see. Yet again, when you have the big orthopedic world, which many times is so trauma, you know, oriented in so many ways, that you probably see your big share of the ones that really, really don't respond. Of course, I'm prejudiced, but the aggressive use of orthotics, I can't remember the last excessive overuse of the muscle tendon that's used to support the arch. But one of our patients, you fixed it because of a tear in that muscle area. What are some of the other, do you see Achilles tendon injuries and tears?
Yes, Achilles tendon ruptures and chronic Achilles tendinosis from repetitive injuries, especially, you know, we're all forward-moving individuals, and once the Achilles tendon and the calf muscles are over-tightened and there's no balance or stretching, and the contralateral muscles are not being appropriately strengthened at the same time, then we run into problems with chronic Achilles tendinosis.
Yes. For 100 years, again, I've talked about, I don't care what the sport is, I don't care who the athlete is, I don't care what their level or age is, you've got to include foot-ankle strengthening. My mentor, Bob Guider, the great kinesio sports therapist, I think he invented rubber bands, and the foot-ankle was the first area he was really looking at.
Right.
That and aggressive balance and stability training. Haven't we seen in the world of foot surgery, Dr. George, the tremendous inclusion of physical therapy and strengthening? Again, a couple decades ago, you didn't see a lot of physical therapy after foot surgery.
No. I mean, it's remarkable how these things will go hand in hand. And when you mentioned that, 90-95% of your patients and your experience respond to conservative treatment, orthotics, and strengthening, you're absolutely right, because 9 out of 10 times the patients that come and see me don't require surgery. It's usually 10% or less of the patient population that comes with any type of sports issue, whether that's a traumatic injury resulting from a sport or overuse issues. They rarely need surgery. So there's
yes.
hope for all of our athletes.
Yes. Well, this is, again, the epidemic of overuse injuries and repetitive motion injuries when we see these kids. I have a chapter in my book called The Prodigy Sports, and I'm talking about, like the figure skaters that I see, or the dancers, or the gymnasts, or the tennis or soccer players, and that's all they want to do. We could tell them all day, we'd love them to play multiple sports. That's great, Dr. Wild. Don't you understand? I skate 6 days a week. It's all I want to do. So these repetitive motion injuries, and then we tie into that the schedules and the demand, and we start seeing again and that's what really concerns me many times. Half these adolescents are taking over the counter pain medicine because of the pressure of the pressure to play. So you got to be a big orthotics guy yourself, I would assume.
I do. I love orthotics, and that's usually my go-to when a patient comes and sees me for the first time and they have any kind of these overuse issues.
Is your 9-year-old in them yet?
Yes, absolutely. It's the first thing I told her.
Right. Yeah. Get her on the balance boards,
Yep.
Get her on the balance boards in that situation. Again, ankle injuries continue to be the most common joint injury, everywhere you look. We always tell people you have to take these things seriously. But does that continue to be, even surgically, where we're talking about ankle injuries, such a big problem still?
Yes. It's remarkable of how often, people take for granted. There's over 10,000 ankle sprains a day in the United States. And so,
wow.
The biggest predisposing factor to an ankle sprain is a previous ankle sprain. So every time somebody twists their ankle, the ligaments just get stretched and get weaker.
Gotta pay attention.
That's where, the rehab, strengthening the muscles around the ankle is crucial to prevent re-injury.
Yes. Dr. Joe George, give me the website quickly one more time for the group.
IllinoisOrthopedicInstitute.com.
IllinoisInstitute.com, everybody. Dr. Joe George, podiatric surgeon. Dr. Joe, hold on a quick second. Everybody, we'll be right back. It's the Sports Doctor. Everybody, it's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharky Zartman, hashtag Hey Sports Parents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. Sharky is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctors In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athletes. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Everybody, welcome back to Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist, and we want to welcome VJ Stanley to the show. VJ is an ex-Division I recruited athlete. Over 20 years, he was a head coach in college hockey. I got to talk to this guy about orthotics. He's coached, youth, middle school, high school, USA Hockey. Again, for years, he's been on various radio shows. He's published three books. This Stop the Tsunami in Youth Sports. He's right up our alley, man, on the Sports Doctor in our book, hashtag Hey Sports Parents. From upstate New York in his dream house, VJ Stanley, welcome to the Sports Doctor.
Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
Hey, give me a little bit of quickie info on what you and what you do and include some background.
Let's see. I was a multi-sport athlete in high school. I was back in the day recruited by four different colleges to play Division I hockey. I actually played one game at Clarkson and had my seventh and eighth concussions that ended my career. Was a professional stand-up comic for 7 years, a head hockey coach, college hockey for 21 years.
That's a great mixture. You must be a great radio guest. That's a great mixture. I guess that's got to do with your whole philosophy, again, of the balanced excellence.
Correct.
And that whole idea of youth and high school sports injury prevention. So a stand-up comic, great stuff, and the coach for all of those years. And you're a big guy, again, for decades. Mind-body connection, the mental game, besides the physical overuse. Is this what balanced excellence is all about?
Correct. The mind and the body have now been proven by science to be actually connected with strands. It's not just a theory. And the more the tired the mind gets, the more the body gets tired, and the more injury-prone the children are. And by we call everybody 18 and under children, so people understand they're children first. They're not mini adults. They're not micro-professional athletes, and they're not remote-controlled robots attached to adults' joysticks, egos, and wallets.
Yes. Well, especially these challenges today, a big part of the whole premise of hashtag Hey Sports Parents is the epidemic of overuse injuries, whether it's physical and or mental. Like you talk about, that's an interesting perception, everybody under 18 children. So the overkill, the pressure to play, the mix in of all sorts of pain medicine over the counter, even in our youth, all go into the real importance of the kind of balance, pardon my pun, in some of the things that you stress and some of the different organizations that we've been fortunate enough to have on the Sports Doctor, the National Alliance of Youth Sports, iSport 360, Youth Sports, the movie, in that regard. So you coached, you know, you played as a college athlete yourself. You were there. You know what it takes. You've coached. You work with kids. And this is why I always ask you guys how your sports psychology skills are. Right?
I want to stress to the people listening today, I just need them to remember this one thing. Nobody ever lost their specialization. People lose their balance all the time, but nobody ever lost their specialization. Balance is so important, they have an Olympic sport named after it, the balance beam.
Interesting perception. I like that a lot, again, because every aspect, whether it's the body control, whether it's the concentration, whether it's the balance and stability, again, balance, and the kinds of pressures that we see. I mean, the United States women's figure skating champions, 13 and a half years old, when you just spin that around in your mind, when, now it's not for everybody, serious sports very early. You talk a lot about Stop the Tsunami in youth sports, about the idea that it's supposed to, the value of play for fun. My co-author pays a lot of attention to that, but, you know, the idea of, hey, I guess that goes into the under 18-year-old children thinking.
If you talk to the leading doctor, scientists, they will tell you all the study says adolescence in its true form goes all the way to the age 23, 24, 25. The body doesn't fully develop until 23, 24, 25. So just because something's being done, doctor, doesn't mean that we should be doing it. And so what we've done is we fast-forwarded a children's development. And once you do that, you put strain not only on the body, but on the mind.
And the Pandora's box.
Yes. And the mind really controls the body. And so now you're starting to mess with the amygdala. You're starting to mess with the prefrontal cortex. You're starting to mess with the hippocampus. You're starting to mess with the cortisol. And so what happens, and we stress to the parents and the athletes, and we talk to them, is you start to get into the negative dopamine rush. And so that quick rush, whether it's a cell phone, whether it's the coach yelling at you or the parent yelling at you or positive or negative, the brain doesn't differentiate from that. So now what we have is these kids are starved for attention when in reality they want to be safe and loved. Doesn't mean we can't have consequences. Doesn't mean they can't be responsible for their actions. It does. We want that.
No, it's a big point. Yeah. Yeah, you're talking fight or flight. When you mentioned the word cortisol, cortisol is the stress hormone that gets sprayed into the body because of various kinds of pressure, and you're really paying big attention to the detrimental effect it could have. On the one hand, if you're not paying attention to it all, and then the enhanced performance it can have if we pay big attention to that side. I guess that's part of your latest presentation, right? Creating the championship mindset.
Correct. I can promise you, and we do it as a money-back guarantee, that I can help your son or daughter get better by not playing their sport. How about that one, Doc?
I like it. Well, again, you got to train the opposites. So, you know, many times yes. The mental coach. A couple of weeks ago, I had on Rob Andrews, Rob owns the Institute of Sports Performance in Houston. He's got a wall of gold medals because he did all that work mentally with the women's gymnastics team, Simone Biles, and all of these. So the tremendous emphasis. And then again, as I'm thinking about what you just said, absolutely. You know, I'm working with these athletes with and not even doing this sport. What's your website, VJ, to people learn about all the stuff you're doing in your books?
balancedexcellence.com. It's being reworked now. So, Doc, I can barely turn my cell phone on and off. The lady's supposed to have it redone by the end of next week.
Well, hey, listen, if you're a comedian, then I guess you can, you know, you got to be able to, you know, take the good and the bad and whatever. You're doing any more stand-up stuff for fun?
No, I retired 7 years ago. It's a dark existence. When you're on stage making 300 people laugh, you can't have any more fun vertically. But the off time is, and my humor is a little, I would say, it's way more about relationships, and I pick on men and women, and people tend to get a little offended. And as I started to get questions, about,
you said I better get back into coaching. I would think it would be a great experience. Again, you know, you mentioned all that work at hockey. I used to see some of the Blackhawks. This is my secret, again, or semi-secret to you for the day from the sports doctor. I've never had a skating coach, even though I work mostly with the world of figure skating, the top, top kids. I've never had a coach call me and say, you know, Doc, you slowed the kid up with the orthotics. You messed up their balance. Two steps quicker, sharper edging, absolutely in the world of hockey, and it's ignored big time. They think they could solve all these things with boots. But many times we see, that's just my little pearl for the day for you in your world of hockey. What ages, when you're talking about athletes, young athletes, adolescents, what ages, VJ, do you pay attention to?
Well, we start with the very young, because that should be, we say, play for fun, then compete. It transfers into the classroom and life. So anything.
Right, how old? 6, 7 years old? 5, 6 years old? How old?
5, 6 years old, kindergarten.
Right.
And
well, you have girls who are doing gymnastics 3 days a week at 6, 7 years old. So I think that's a great starting point, especially when you're adding what you're adding, which is the balanced philosophies.
Can I give you a quick story? We're working with a soccer coach. She's 8U team, is playing in a championship game, big game, sends me a text and asks me, what should he do for pregame speech? What should he, I mean, for a pregame warm-up? I said, I think you should do Simon Says and Ring Around the Rosie.
Right. Yes, loosen kids up, you know, relax. Take the pressure off. I think that's a great philosophy. Did he do it?
No. No, he said he would. He said he thought he would get yelled off the pitch.
You know, but of course, I'm at the sports doctors in Chicago, and I was just reading about Kobe Bryant's new books and whatever he writes about Phil Jackson. And Phil Jackson had his team with the Great Bulls and the Michael Jordan. These guys would meditate, they would relax, they would do different Tai Chi. They were doing all of these Eastern culture parts of things that seemed to help their recovery, their concentration. You know, people thought that they were crazy in some way, shape, or form. But when you're dealing with young athletes who might be very, very serious, again, hey, man, hashtag hate sports parents, you're dealing with the families and the parents, right, VJ?
Children learn way, way more from modeling than they do from instruction. People think about that. 75%.
That's a great point.
25%. So we need to model them, and just because we want them to relax and have fun doesn't mean that they can't be very competitive. It's actually just the opposite. See, Doc, competition, being competitive, has been perverted to the fact that I want to win, therefore I can cheat. Therefore, I can do this, I can do that. No, and I'm going to give you guys an example. I'll give you three scores. 77.
Well, hold that thought. Hold that thought. I want to. We're going to come back real, real quickly. Give me the website one more time, and then we're going to be coming back with the sports doctor. What's the website one more time, VJ?
BalancedExcellence.com.
Okay, everybody, we're going to be right back. It's the sports doctor. We'll be right back.
live in or near Aurora, Illinois, and you're into sports, fitness at any level, or your son and daughter is, you cannot forget about your feet. Your feet affect everywhere else. There are complex motions that come into play, especially in sports. Your ankles, knees, hips, and back all are affected with your foot mechanics. Come visit the office, Dr. Bob, and get evaluated. Check what shoes are best for you. I offer prescription orthotics, which is usually one of the major tools for treatment and prevention of foot-related ankle and leg problems. Also, enhancing performance. Step or two quicker. Call 630-898-3505 or go to sportsdoctorradio.com.
Hey, everybody, we are back live from Chicago with the Sports Doctor. I'm sports podiatrist Dr. Bob Weil. We're talking with VJ Stanley, the Balance Excellence. His book, Stop the Tsunami in Youth Sports. We were just talking about some of the things that you really are stressing when you're dealing with all aspects of mindset and the attitude and the feedback. Talk more about what's important to you with your program.
Well, we give the example, Doc, about how important it is for cooperation, even in individual sports. We had a saying in our team, you can't be my best player unless you're my best citizen and take great joy in others. But let's just use Black Friday. People are already competitive. We needed to work with them so that they get together and the group raises the individual. And what we've got now is the fact, because so much money is involved, it's been separated.
Yes.
And we use this example. I give you three scores, 77-22, 55-56 overtime, and 14-0. So if you're a big sports guy, do you want to watch the 77-22 game?
No.
Do you want to watch the 14-0 game?
Yeah, not necessarily. It depends, but the 1-point, 2-point game would be exciting to watch, absolutely.
Right. So would you want to play in that 55-56 overtime game if you were an athlete?
If I wanted, no. I would think that every athlete absolutely would really enjoy that. On the other hand, so another athlete, I can give you, I've been doing this a long time. On the other hand, the team that's winning 72-20 might tell you that they're having the greatest time they've had in the past 10 years. So what's your thinking on that?
See, the 77-22, we're not learning anything either side. We're actually getting bad.
I'm having a good time. Yeah, I'm having a great time as the winning team. I might be learning on the losing side that I have to continue to play hard and not quit. That regard. But I like your points about the fact that good teamwork and looking at things in that perspective actually makes a positive improvement in the individual athlete in all ways. True?
Correct. And that's what we teach. You know, the kids, one of my degrees is in psychology, and we call it bottlenecking. Everything that comes into these kids' brains, they're making three decisions a second. And so yelling them from the sideline as the coach, and if any of your viewers have young children, everybody has heard a two-year-old say this, I can do it myself. I believe God made teenagers simply it's the only way moms will let them leave the house. Otherwise, they'd stay home. Moms would keep home forever. So we're not letting, they want to own their journey. One of the great things about teenagers is they desperately want to rebel so that they can belong. So we've flip-flopped the actual need for them to learn coping skills by putting winning ahead of development. And because, and here's from the beginning, I said we guarantee you get better with your sport. Here's our second controversial thing. Nobody, not Michael Jordan, nobody knows how to win.
Interesting.
Nobody. Vegas wouldn't exist.
The great John Calipari, 4 years ago, won a national championship. The year after, he didn't even qualify. The year after that, he went undefeated until the semifinal game and lost. What, did he forget how to win? Jerry Jones, the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, he just built the $2 billion mausoleum. I'm sorry, stadium for himself.
Well, the upcoming documentary that I'm hoping to take part in, the youth sports, the movie, what's with the $15 billion a year youth sports industry? You touched on it before. Everything now is much, much more pressurized, whether it is the traveling teams. Now, there's a lot of great parts of all of it, and it's not for everybody. But the, coaches and full-time and tremendous specialization and club and traveling teams, it's very, very expensive. It is really a challenge, and there's a lot of wonderful parts of it. I like the idea. So parents or coaches of various teams, you're in the upstate New York area. Do you do a lot of online stuff?
Yes.
Okay. And the, did I get a hint of a New York accent, or is it that just me?
No, it's a hint of a New York accent. Can I just add one thing to meet the parents?
Yes,
to understand?
Go.
If you, because you're a doctor, and you have doctors on, so if you're a pediatrician, and a child and a parent comes into you with a cold, and by the way, if I knew then about amoxicillin, I'd have had it in every vial of food and drink in my kid's house. That thing is a miracle medicine. But if you have a cold, you get amoxicillin, you go home. You don't then prescribe to me and my son or daughter to go to a specialist. Because when you go to a specialist, you expect special results. And 99% of the kids will never make any money off of sports. The parents will always pay more. So what we're saying is take the mass, teach them, and then the outliers will have what they need by balance, and they will lift the
Are you working with schools, VJ? Are you working with the schools and teams, or do you do most of your work with individual boy or girl athletes?
Oh, no. Almost all of what we do is the whole breadth and scope. Schools, with YMCA, youth organizations, parents, children, coaches. I will say this. We're having a very difficult time breaking into the high schools. Evidently, these coaches have the answers.
If I want to go in and talk about training the foot, the challenge has always been the idea that schools, many times coaches think they know everything there is to know, whether it's the mental or physical. You know, you're talking a philosophical approach. That's
correct.
An interesting sell. That's why you're an educator. My old friend, the late Dr. Jim Vickery, was a sports psychologist, and in the 90s he shared the radio with me, but he never used the word psychology. It scared people away. He was a performance enhancement consultant. So the idea when you're talking, you know, the mental game, even though it's much, much, much more accepted, it doesn't surprise me that you would have your challenges regarding getting integrated. Heck, I just wanted to get these kids walking for childhood obesity in the school system,
right.
And I gave up with them trying to include anything. It was like it seemed like changing the world. So you work with some younger athletes, like you said, and you're working with their parents. I tell you, the time flew by. I want to thank VJ Stanley. Balanced excellence and all aspects of the mindset, creating the championship mindset. His book, Stop the Tsunami in Youth Sports, great stuff. VJ, quickly, give me the website one more time.
BalancedExcellence.com, and the last book is Does Your Mind Mind? My third book, Does Your Mind Mind What You're Doing to Your Body?
It's great stuff. Thank you so much. Hold on, VJ. Everybody will be right back with the Sports Doctors In segment. Thank you. Hey, everybody. It's Dr. Bob Weil, a sports doctor. I'm excited to announce the release of my new book, co-written with Sharkey Zartman, hashtag HeySportsParents, an essential guide for any parent with a child in sports. You know, Sharkey is a former Hall of Fame volleyball player. She's the mom of two daughters who became Division I volleyball players. Together, we have over 70 years of combined youth sports experience. The goal of the book? Give you the essential tools and guidance to make your experience as a sports parent the best it could be. Hashtag Hey Sports Parents is divided into four sections. The first section, Sports Parenting 101. Sharkey talks everything about parenting, about coaching, that whole interaction between parents and coaches, coaching your own kid. What are the things to really pay attention to? The second section is the Sports Doctors In, yours truly. My discussion of injury prevention and treatment, choosing the best shoes, youth sports and drugs, essential exercises, the dilemma of youth football, orthotics. Third section, experts speak out. We bring together eight different experts in nutrition and sports performance and mental training in all aspects of coaching in that section. The last section is the parents' perspective, some insights from about a half a dozen parents of athletes. So everyone, hey, get out your megaphone, spread the word. Now available on Amazon. Order now. You'll be more confident. So will your young athlete. Hashtag, hey sports parents. Hey, everybody, live from Chicago. Welcome back. It's the Sports Doctor. I'm Dr. Bob Weil, sports podiatrist. Go to my website, sportsdoctorradio.com, and you could go back years of radio shows on three different stations, and you can see some examples, listen to what you would like, check the topics and guests, international guests, all areas, sports medicine, fitness, wellness. And you can go over to newspaper articles, magazines, and read an endless array of information from the best shoe to specialization to concussions. Welcome to the Sports Doctors In segment. We answer some emails. We preview some upcoming shows. Dynamite show today with Dr. Joe George and VJ Stanley. And the next couple of weeks are going to be the same. Gordon McKellen is going to be joining me next week. The whole area of parents and sports, that should really be dynamite. And then returning sports chiropractor Brian Damhoff will be joining me. He is a local chiropractor. The following week, two dynamite ladies, Ann Marchetti, who has been the coordinator, the CEO of Forward, this tremendous DuPage County, Illinois group, fighting childhood obesity. And she'll be joining us. I think they just celebrated the 10th anniversary. And then Sally Sampson, who is the creator, publisher of Chop Chop Magazine, one of the most dynamic nutrition, fitness-oriented magazines for children's participation in with recipes and other things regarding eating smarter. So some great stuff coming up. Where am I here with emails? Here we go. Jerry says, I'm 50 years old. I love playing tennis a couple days a week. I've got arthritis in the big toe. Is that a surgical problem? It might be, Jerry, but it very well might not be. We've had great success with orthotics, with the right type of accommodation, shoe changes, in very successfully calming down sometimes aggressive arthritis of the big toe joint. So you want to look at conservative options, making sure. Now, sometimes with real wear and tear and bone spurs, other things, it is a surgical problem. My first guest today, Dr. Joe George, absolutely has probably been fixing problems like that for his whole career. And sometimes it's a surgical problem, but you really want to look and see I've had people who've been playing for 10 years with the same arthritis, big toe, with the right orthotic in the shoes. Check that out. Terry says my son is a 14-year-old cross-country runner. It's the third season we've had shin splint-type problems. You know, Terry, I was talking about that earlier in the show. Tibial tendonitis, the strong tendon, that's a muscle down the back of the leg. It changes into a tendon at the lower third, and it inserts around the ankle into the arch, almost like a hammock. And when that foot is collapsing excessively, that tendon muscle overworks, trying to slow the foot down from slapping on the ground from running, and we can start getting what's called shin splints. Shin splints is not a medical diagnosis. You could have a stress fracture of the lower leg. You could have a tendonitis. You could have other kinds of problems. Most of it is overuse. Most of it is related to mechanics if it's persistent. I've had fabulous success, over 90% success with orthotics and strengthening and or physical therapy with the most aggressive of shin splints. When it's persistent, and you're mentioning here it is, then you want to go see sports podiatry, you want to see podiatry, and you really want to get an insight on, is your son excessively pronated? Is he flat-footed? What's his foot mechanics? Is he in the right shoe for what he's doing? Many times cross-country shoes, you're in spikes, you're in very minimal shoes. And the good news is, is that in the vast majority of stories like yours, orthotics, some intelligent rest. You might have to back off, you might have to, you know, especially as we're starting here, we're turning around, it'll be cross-country season. So pay attention to that. Don says, I'm 60 years old. I have heel spurs that was seen on X-ray. I was recommended to consider cortisone injections. Are they safe? You know, Don, for the most part, they are. They've been around for years. You can't repetitively use cortisone, which could be irritating to the tissues. What I want to stress to you is that proper support, orthotic support, arch support, key with the heel spurs. Highly successful. Heel spurs, which is a proliferation, a growth of bone on the bottom of the heel as a result of persistent pulling and micro tearing of the attachment to the arch, by themselves many times don't hurt. It's the process of them developing because of that stretching and tearing of the attachment that's the culprit. So quite often, somebody might put an arch support, a proper orthotic in the shoe and feel much, much better. They might include physical therapy and have that successful. When that doesn't work many times, or we want trying to be maybe very aggressive, we might do a cortisone injection to try to calm it dramatically down. We wouldn't repeat a cortisone injection more than maybe three times over a 6 to 12 month period. If the doctor says cortisone injections as the first option, I would question it because orthotic support and physical therapy are so successful. So you really want to make sure that you're paying attention. Rarely, maybe 5% of the time, surgery is necessary, you know. And if you're active, you ain't looking for that. So get some conservative options with those spurs if that's what you've been doing. Again, you can count on the safety in good hands with cortisone injections. You just don't want to repetitively use them. And there are other homeopathic, holistic injection options that you might want to look at. So bingo, bango, we're about done. We'll catch everybody. I want to thank everybody for listening. And we'll catch you next week on The Sports Doctor. Dr. Bob Weil here. See ya.